Hello, everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for the third Sunday in Ordinary Time, or Epiphany, Year B. Jonah gets a second chance to preach the word in Nineveh. Paul is certain the time is short, so he suggests some ways for the Corinthians to make the time count. In Mark, Jesus calls four fishermen away from their ordinary lives to follow him. Let's make your preaching count with multiple intelligence illustrations and special effects.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's get started.
The Old Testament lesson for Year B, Ordinary 3, or Epiphany 3, is from Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and then tagging verse 10 onto the end of it. This is the story where Jonah gets his second chance to go preach to the Ninevites. He's already had one chance in the first two chapters of Jonah, where he receives the word to go preach to the Ninevites and runs off in the opposite direction, gets swallowed by a big fish. Praise to God, the fish barfs him up on the shore, and we're right back to where we started. And so God says, hey, remember what I said? Go do that. And so Jonah, okay, goes to Nineveh, walks across this massive city that takes 3 days to cross, preaches a 5-word sermon to the Ninevites. They hear it, they receive it, they repent, and God's mercy is granted to them. And that's where we end. So we are going to be doing 4 of the intelligences with this particular passage. The others, we have some stuff for the others, and you can see that on the worksheet over at www.morethanhearing.org. You can download the worksheet, but we're going to look at eye with an illustration and special effect, body smart with a special effect, an illustration and special effect in nature smart, and an illustration in people smart.
For eye smart, this is indeed round 2 between God and Jonah, so a special effect that you could do would be to hold up a sign that says, round 2, like you're starting the next round in a boxing match, or have somebody walk around the front of the chancel with that. And,
Bikini is optional.
Yes.
Maybe under a choir robe.
Yes. Okay.
Sorry, distracted you.
Yes, a bit. Or you get one of those clapperboards like they use for movies. You know, take one, take two, get one of those, write scene 1, take 2 on
it. You can get those at party supply stores.
You can. So that would be a couple ways that you could emphasize that second round. Another thing to think about here is that God is saving the Ninevites in spite of Jonah. So God has hit a straight shot with a crooked stick, which might bring to mind a little bit of body smart, actually, because it sounds like golf to me. Then for an illustration, there are a number of TV shows that you could use to illustrate just the general nature of prophecy, the way it's demonstrated here with Jonah. One such show is Early Edition, and this was back in the 90s, I think, wasn't it?
96.
Where the main character gets the newspaper for the next day on any given day. Mm-hmm. So then he has the
24 hours.
He has 24 hours to do something with the information right. that he gets.
Right. And it's not always clear exactly what it is he's supposed to do. There have been right. episodes where he thinks this is what he has to do and winds up it being something else.
Right. Right. So generally he's trying to help change the world for the better. Mm-hmm. And so whether to intervene or to give somebody information mm-hmm. or whatnot. Meanwhile, his friend is like, hey, what are the lotto numbers for tomorrow?
Right.
Right. Yeah. So use your powers for good, not evil.
Exactly.
All right. So Early Edition is the name of that show. And we have a link for you for that at IMDb, or you can look it up yourself. Similar shows include Quantum Leap, Touched by an Angel, and the current show that's on the air, Kevin Probably Saves the World. And they all kind of go in that way. A couple other thoughts for iSmart special effect would be to pull out the maps. We always love getting out the maps so that people can see the geography of the area. Also, we have a link to some sketches of Jonah's story by Mark Chagall. Mm-hmm. And those are kind of interesting. So you could present or project those. One other thing, in verse 4, that's where we get Jonah's sermon. And it's just a handful of words. But even though Jonah doesn't seem to be putting too much effort into his sermon here, the result is dramatic and widespread.
Which gives us hope.
It does give us hope, especially for those weeks.
Exactly. It's Sunday.
That happened again. Right. Anyway, a special effect you could use here is to get a clear 2-liter bottle and fill it with water. Take the label off so that people can see it and mm-hmm. fill it with water and then drip in a drop of food coloring for each word of the sermon.
Hmm.
And then just give it a swirl and mm-hmm. see what kind of effect that has. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's going to make it a really deep color with that many drops. Because right. it works out to be, I don't know, 7 or 8 drops, depending yeah. on your translation. You want to try that out beforehand to make sure that you get a nice color, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But but you're going to get some nice, rich colors there. So when God wants a thing done, even our little effort can be magnified. So that's pretty cool.
There you go. For Body Smart, I was reading a commentary and somebody mentioned a book called From Jeremiah to Jonah by a woman named Kathleen Caveney or Caveney, K-A-V-E-N-Y. And she talks about prophecy being like chemotherapy for the body, the body politic, where chemotherapy is chemicals injected into the body in order to fight a disease. And it's unpleasant, but the end result is hopefully health and salvation. And prophecy being like that, prophecy being sometimes very unpleasant for the people to whom the prophecy is directed. But if it's heeded and if it works, salvation comes from it. So this is kind of what Jonah has been directed to do for the city of Nineveh, is go give it some chemotherapy. As a special effect, you could bring in some sackcloth, also known as burlap, and you can find that at any craft store or any fabric store, and pass it around so that people can feel it.
Or a feed store, I suppose.
Or a feed store, even, yeah. Or if you have any people that have, you know, yeah, right. If you have people that are farmers who actually do that, pass it around so people can feel it and imagine what it would feel like up against their skin. Or if you really want to go the whole hog on this, get some burlap and make a shirt. And invite someone to wear it if yeah. you yourself don't.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it makes me itch just thinking about it. Oh, squirm, squirm, squirm. Ugh. For Nature Smart, this lackadaisical sermon that Jonah has preached, he just tosses out this small, shriveled up seed on unprepared ground, or so he thinks it's unprepared. And he just stands there, clearly not willing to do anything to germinate it. And so you could illustrate it this way, that Jonah's word is just this bleh seed that he just kind of spits out on the ground and then just stands there or even looks away. And then God sees this seed finally spit out, much like Jonah himself had been spit out, and he grabs it. And through God's work, he makes it spring forth and flower and flourish and wrap the Ninevites up in its branches.
Gee, sort of like the vine in chapter 4.
Yeah. And this was God's intention all along. He needed Jonah manna to spit out that seed. So you could use that as a nature illustration. For a special effect, stick with that idea. Stick with this idea and bring in a shriveled up seed and a pot with some soil and just drop it or even spit that seed on top of the soil. And then have an identical pot with a well-established plant or a vine hidden nearby and swap them as you talk about what God does with Jonah's offering. So if God does so much with so very little effort on our part, what might God do with something that has more serious intention on our part?
For people smart, imagine being a prophet charged with the task of approaching a country in the midst of a civil war and genocide to stop the violence, repent, and hold democratic elections. Or go to Washington, D.C. and tell Congress to repent and repeal Citizens United. Or some other legislation, or to get them to repent and do anything for that matter.
Right.
Anyway, that's sort of what Jonah is being asked to do here. So this scene in Jonah can be interpreted that he's bringing very little enthusiasm to his preaching. And mm-hmm. from the larger context of the book, we kind of get that sense. Mm-hmm. So it's like being the person on guard to keep people from going back into a burning building, except just standing by and mumbling, no, don't, as they run past into the building. Mm-hmm. Or like posting a public notice that a whole neighborhood is going to be torn down in a small ad on page 9 of section C of the newspaper. Because everybody reads that.
Right. Okay, let's go on.
The New Testament lesson for Year B, Ordinary 3, or Epiphany 3, is 1 Corinthians 7, verses 29 to 31. Very short passage and hard to summarize without just kind of saying it. But Paul says that the time is short. And so those who are married, let them be as if they are not. And those who mourn as if they are not, and those who rejoice as if they are not, because the present form of the world is passing away. Boom, that's it.
Yeah.
That's all there is to work with.
Yep, that's it.
So we have some stuff, though.
Yeah, yay.
Yeah, good for us. Hopefully good for you. So take a look at the worksheet at the website, www.morethanhearing.org, because we have some goodies, but it's some more goodies than we're going to tell you about right now. We're going to do Word Smart, where we have an illustration, Math Smart illustration, Music Smart illustration and special effect, and a Self Smart special effect.
Okay, we're going to start with Word. There is a poetic device of simile that is being used throughout these verses. And depending on which particular version you use, there are different words that are used in English to interpret the Greek. So you have as though, as if, like.
As if.
As if. Yeah. And so it's a device that Paul is using to make a point. You know, that's what you do with poetic devices and similes, is you engage the reader's imagination as they're listening to particular words and images to follow along with your point. And the point that he's making is that time is running out, and it's not chronological time. So much it is the word that he uses is kairos. So it's sort of the time plus
the
current form, the structure of the world of reality as you see it. It's coming to an end. Ooh, space time. Yeah, yeah. There's a rip in the space time continuum. Yeah. Right.
We're pushing into Math Smart here. We'll pick that up in a minute.
Anyway, so the word Kairos is used, and he's trying to make a point about Kairos. So he's using these similes. As an illustration about Kairos, You could talk about the novel and the movie that has come out of the novel called The Fault in Our Stars, which is a story about young people falling in love, one of whom has beaten cancer, another one who is, sorry, spoiler alert, not going to beat cancer. And is this the time to be falling in love? Is this the time to be in getting involved in a really intimate, deep relationship when time chronologically is running out? Or is love immune to that? And is there time, kairos, for love at any time? So, interesting way of thinking about difference between chronos and kairos using a novel.
Indeed. There are some people smart elements to all of that, too. And with those similes, they're poetic, but they also are trying to hook you into the people and self.
The relational
and self-reflective part. So
Oh, yes.
All kinds of stuff going on in there. For Math Smart, we have a couple of lines here from Stan Mast, writing for the Center for Excellence in Preaching. And he writes, X is like Y in the sense that X is similar to Y, but yet not the same as Y. The forms that help you make sense of the world are no longer valid, not because the world no longer has any value, but because it has received additional value in the risen Christ. So we're trying to think of how to think about that mathematically and logically, because he's using some mathematical expressions here, especially in the first part. And so what that might look like, or what it called to mind, at least for me, is geometric similarity. And we have a link for you about what that means. But in geometry, if two different figures can be translated or scaled or eventually rotated around in such a way that you could superimpose them and they match, then they're similar.
Right.
And so if you scale it up or scale it down, it doesn't matter. They remain similar. So it's not exactly the same, but it's similar.
Similar. So, right. Yeah. Right.
So that would be a mathematical concept that would correspond with that quote. Then you might also consider a polynomial function. And this is an equation that will have a variable in it that is, you may have certain degrees or exponents for that variable. So like ax squared plus bx plus c is your equation, and that equals f of x. Right. And you can make that as complex and as complicated as you want to. But if x is zero, then most of the terms go away.
Are going to be zero, right.
And you get left with a constant, whatever c is at the end of that thing that I just said. And and we've got a couple links to some pages that give examples here. So if you use time as your variable, so t instead of x, then as t gets to zero, that is the time is up.
Right. Kairos is coming to an end.
Right. Then if t goes to zero, then all the complexity of that equation goes away and you get a constant. And so you could think about that as an expression of what Paul's trying to say.
So the constant would be God's presence, the resurrection,
right,
the power Christ of the resurrection, the changed reality of the resurrection.
Your relationship with Christ, right. And all of that. And all the other things, there are expressions for them, but they don't matter once time is out.
Right.
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 So there you go.
There you go. Cool. Excellent. So for your math geeks in your congregation, you can just play them that clip of David talking. Because I would not be able to reproduce that.
If you have questions, drop us a note or leave us a message, and we'll see what we can do to explain it.
Well, and that idea of time running out, of kairos coming to a close, it kind of carries over into Music Smart with a line from Martin Luther's hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, that line that says, "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever." So you have kind of that mathematical expression right there in this poetic musical stanza.
Indeed.
So, yeah. Continuing on with the idea of music, of poetry, of rhythm, of meter, look at the passage and the phrase as though or as if. It's repeated over and over like a refrain in a song or a poem. Point that out or stress that as you read that. Or if you've got the time and the inclination, sing it.
Ooh.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would.
Also as an illustration for Music Smart, in the musical Les Miserables, there's a scene where the young Frenchmen are planning their revolt and Marius comes in. He's in love. And the leader, I think his name is Enjolras. Mm-hmm. Forgive me if I'm saying that wrong. He says to him, Marius, you're no longer a child. I do not doubt that you mean it well, but now there's a higher call. Who cares about your lonely soul? We strive toward a larger goal. Our little lives don't count at all. So there's a sense that time's coming to an end. Something's happening and the concerns of our own individual lives are a drop in the bucket.
You may be in love, but that don't matter right now.
Right, exactly. So for a special effect for music, you could think about this. We're called not to detachment from the things of our lives. We're not supposed to just cut everything off, but to devotion. And devotion to Christ, the resurrected one. So write a poem using the refrain as if or as if not or both to express that. And perhaps a series of as-if statements about things that Christ will set right in the second coming, followed by, then I must work as if I do not, a series of privileges and comforts. That could be very interesting, and you could even write that as a poem and use that as the way of presenting this passage.
Yeah. If we get a chance, maybe we'll do that and post it. If you get a chance, then go ahead and post it for us and let us know what you come up with.
Indeed.
For self-smart, for a special effect, according to Paul, as we've been saying, the best way to live as a disciple is free from distractions and focused on the work at hand and focusing on the resurrection life that we have in Christ. And that can be difficult and take some flexibility and some adjustments sometimes. So make a list and invite your folks to do this. Maybe give them a worksheet in the bulletin if you have such a thing. Make a list of your distractions from Christ and rank them according to how much energy they take from you. And then imagine how you might use the energy that distraction takes and how you would put it to work for the kingdom.
And then follow through.
That would be even better.
Indeed.
Okay, let's go on.
The gospel lesson for Year B, Ordinary 3, or Epiphany 3, is from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. This is the story of Jesus beginning the call of his disciples. This is the call of Andrew, Simon, James and John, and how Jesus approached them, called them to follow him, and they did, like, right away.
Just like that.
Just like that. There's a lot of stuff to be found in these six verses that you could apply multiple intelligence theory to. We're going to try to get five in the time that's remaining to us. We're going to look at a special effect for word, a special effect and illustration for iSmart, an illustration for NatureSmart, an illustration and special effect for PeopleSmart, and a special effect for SelfSmart. So let's see if we can do this in the time allotted. You ready, David?
All right, here we go. For WordSmart, we have four succinct statements in verse 15 that Jesus makes. And that's the sum of his recorded preaching in this part, anyway. It's reminiscent of Jonah because it's short and it's about repentance, but there's a little more passion to it, I think, probably.
Yeah, I think he cares more.
I think so, too. Yeah. So write each of these statements on a piece of poster board and display them like campaign signs or protest signs. And they are, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom draws near, repent and believe the good news. Put them on a stick or whatever, and either have people in the congregation maybe waving them carefully, or have a prophet of doom type character carrying one or two of them around, or wearing them as a sandwich board or something, and pacing back and forth in front while you're preaching or something like that.
And that would be interesting. Continuing on in iSmart, sticking with verse 15, the kingdom is near. This is a spatial reality. So there's some iSmart in that sermon too, that the kingdom is coming. It's drawing near, and you're able to be, you're if you are in tune to what Jesus is doing, you're able to see it happening. An illustration, there is a blog called Art and Faith Matters, and we have a link to that, and it has some information about an artist named Janet Eckelman, who did some sculpture using nets. It's the story of how she got the idea for that, and has some pictures of some of her work.
It's fishing net, isn't
fishing
it?
Nets, yeah, fish nets, and it's really interesting, and some mm-hmm. of them are quite beautiful and unusual.
Quite large.
Yeah, some of them as well, exactly. What Jesus does in calling these four fishermen, we put this in iSmart, but it works in some other places too. We put it in iSmart as an illustration for the visual image that it will call to mind for people as you're talking about it. Or you can even actually go find a video of this happening. It's like you throw a switch on a track for a train. The train is still running on the track and it's still moving forward, but now it's going over here instead of going there where it had been going. So the disciples had been on track doing this, and Jesus calls and he throws the switch, and now they're going over here. Yeah. There's also some math smart element in that too, in the idea of engineering and throwing switches.
And you can look at the worksheets where we have a few other examples like that.
Yeah. For a special effect for iSmart, we're sticking with verse 15. The time is fulfilled, Jesus says. The Greek is pleroo, which can be interpreted as totality, complete, perfect, or filled to overflowing. So if you want to demonstrate filled to overflowing, you can take a glass and put it in a preferably clear baking dish and then fill it until it's overflowing with water to demonstrate pleroo. The time is fulfilled. It's ready. It's so ready, it's overflowing. For totality, you could show images of the eclipse from this past summer. We keep coming back to that.
We do.
And that's also got some nature intelligence in it too. And it's interesting that this totality of the eclipse is fleeting, and then it leads back to a totally uneclipsed sun. Is the totality of this time that Jesus is talking about also somehow transient? And if so, what's coming to take its place?
For Nature Smart, thinking about our fishermen here, and there are a lot of different kinds of bait that you can use when you go fishing. So we have a link to a site that gives you a lot of options for what the kind of things you can use as bait. And some of them might be good for fish, and I suppose some of them for people, but you might think about what sort of bait you would use for people then.
Here you go.
Then we have a story from Jessie Larkins. She writes about her experience learning to kayak with her brother. And at one point she was panicked by being upside down in the water. And later she asked her brother what went wrong. And his response was, "You can't fight the water. You've got to let it lead you. You've got to let go of control and just go with the flow." And this is how the disciples responded to Jesus' call. You can't fight Jesus' call. Well, I suppose. Well maybe
you could.
You could.
You
but
wind
you
up
end
like
up
Jonah.
Upside down.
Yeah. And in the belly of a fish.
Yeah. So there you go. So that idea of kayaking, that story of kayaking, has some body smart elements mm-hmm. to it as well. But the idea of trying to fight the flow of the water. Mm-hmm. Would be the natural elements.
for people smart, considering Jesus' call to these four particular men, if the disciples had, you could use this as an illustration for people smart, if the disciples had been bricklayers, Jesus might have said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you builders for the kingdom." So think about the ways that Jesus would call the various professionals and people who work in your congregation. What would he say to a nurse or a teacher or a lawyer or a retail worker or a government employee or a farmer or someone who's retired? What would Jesus use to bait those people to a call to follow him?
That's an interesting question.
And as a special effect, I found a story about desegregation in our country, in our country's history. At that particular time, members of black congregations would send delegates to white churches to testify and witness to the need for integration. And there's a story of a particular church where some elders were not really keen on the idea of having these visitors come and were attempting to keep that from happening. And so the pastor said to them, quote, "You elders can do what you want, but the instant that one of our brothers and sisters has shown anything but the finest Christian hospitality, I'll be leaving the pulpit and not coming back." And that settled it. And so this story is the idea that Jesus' disciples wound up being leaders because they followed. And this particular pastor led by following Jesus.
Cool. And finally, for self-smart, consider your own call to discipleship. Did Jesus require you to learn something new and exotic, or simply take what you already knew and did and reorient it toward his own service? And that seems to be what he did with the first disciples there, with the fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
And so how about you? And you might ask your congregation to ponder that question themselves.
That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe even got an idea that you liked better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Remember to check out the show notes, worksheets, links, and resources at our website. They go hand in glove with the podcast and give you lots more material to work with. Don't forget to subscribe using the links on the website for iTunes, Google Play, Android, or good old RSS, or just point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can help others find us more easily by writing a review at the iTunes store, and of course you can share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another episode next week, so in the meantime, stay subscribed
and be smart.
Good production.